It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood.
Hey, Dick Wheeler here. Dick Wheeler, want to talk to you. I'm the Great Auk Man. I got a call one day from Dick Wheeler. I didn't know Dick. Said it heard a sea story of mine on the radio. Wanted to talk to me about a journey. He wanted to make a 1,500-mile kayak journey from northern Newfoundland, a place called Funk Island, all the way down to Buzzard's Bay. Well, I've grown up by the sea, and I knew that was almost impossible.
That's Jay O'Callaghan telling the story of one man's odyssey to follow the migratory route of a now-extinct seabird. Dick Wheeler grew up on the sea in Marshfield, Massachusetts. The winter he was 10 years old, he built a kayak with his brothers and his father. And though his life would take him in many directions, to college, to the Navy, to a lifelong career as an English teacher, building that kayak planted in him a dream he would never forget, a long paddle at sea. A half century later, at 60 years of age, Dick Wheeler was in his kitchen one night, dinner for his wife simmering on the stove, when he picked up a book he hadn't read in years. It was called The Great Auk, and it was about a bird of the same name.
Somewhere over 50 million years, a decision was made inside the species of the great auk not to have hollow bones. It gave up flight in the air. The decision was for solid, dense bones, so it could be a great plunge diver. With the solid bones, it could plunge straight down the sea 100 feet. That's a long way down. But if it needed 200, 300 feet, 400 feet, 1,000 feet, it could soar under the sea with the grace of an eagle and the ease of an 8-year-old girl in a swing. It was a magnificent bird and smart.
That dinner never got cooked. Instead, Dick Wheeler had already put in for the adventure of his life, a paddle tracking the great auk's migratory journey south. His wife, Sandra, said simply, "Keep the land on your right." That began 2 years of planning and training for his trip. Along the way, Dick learned of storyteller Jay O'Callaghan. He tracked him down and asked if he would help tell the story. Recently, Dick Wheeler and Jay O'Callaghan joined us in our studio to tell and perform the story of Dick's remarkable journey. Dick told me more about the bird that inspired him.
Probably the best diving bird the Northern Hemisphere has ever seen, perhaps in the world. It stood about 2 feet tall, mated for life. They laid just one egg a year, an enormous egg. They existed in such numbers that the early ship's captains, who were used to an abundance that we've never seen, became very emotional in their logs. There were so many of these birds, they'd say, no matter how many we kill, there'll always be more. And they filled boats with them, and then they filled boats with their eggs, and then they put their flesh into barrels. And then New England fishermen went up and took them and cut their breasts out for bait for codfish. And the final blow, or close to the final blow, came when the mattress industries that were developing in the United States and Nova Scotia needed feathers, and having depleted the eider duck population, someone said, "Let's go out to Funk Island and get those great auks." So they did, and they got them all.
The first leg of Dick Wheeler's journey was a treacherous 40-mile paddle across the open ocean in from Funk Island, one of the great auk summer breeding colonies. Then he headed south down the coast of Newfoundland in his 17-foot kayak, nicknamed Auky. Upon her bow, he'd mounted a figurehead of the great auk he'd carved and painted himself. Storyteller Jay O'Callaghan.
Paddle on the left side, paddle on the right, paddle up a wave and down the other side. Paddle on the left side, paddle on the right, paddle up a wave and down the other side. We're doing the dream, Auky, we're doing the dream. Look at that guillemots all around us. Beep, 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 beep. Well, Auky, I'm tired. We're going to put in right here. Look at that fisherman. Chin looks like a doorknob. Looks like he's waiting for us. Hey, boy. You're the one that come in from the Funks, boy. How'd you know that? Everyone in Newfoundland knows about you, boy. We heard about you on a fishing radio. You come all the way into the Funks and that thing. I wouldn't go across the harbor in that thing, boy. How about some tea? Hey! When you're 60, someone calls you boy. Makes you feel good. We went up to his house and kitchen smelled good. Children gathered round as if I was a great hawk, and I sat down, had my tea, and then the woman of the house opened the oven, took out a fresh loaf of bread, gave me a knife, I sliced it, steam came out, and oh, I put partridge berry jam. I love partridge berry jam. Well, they kept looking at me, so I ate the whole loaf. Then the woman of the house set down a whole plate of cod cheeks. Big treat up there. I ate that and said, I can't move. She said, I would hope not. Not before the caribou steaks. Two steaks. I said, I can't set the tent up now. Of course you won't. You'll be sleeping in the bedroom. I can't do that. It's your bedroom. My husband and I love to sleep in the kitchen floor. Get in there. I call this aggressive hospitality. So the next morning, Dornab Shin said, hey, bye. How far are you going today? I'm still tired, maybe 10, 15 miles. Give me the chart. Give me the chart, boy. And I'm going to make a little X at a tickle. A tickle is a narrow opening in the rocks. You put in a tickle, you'll smash up on the surf. Here you go. Now, boy, tell them we shouldn't be catching the babies. What? Tell them we shouldn't be catching the babies. They're going to listen to you. Who's catching babies? We're catching the baby codfish is what I'm talking about. Why catching the baby fish? Because the government lets us. These are cold waters up here. It takes 6 or 7 years for a cod to grow up, or they don't grow up anymore. Don't tell me to stop fishing. I got the family right here. If I stop fishing, everyone's going to say I'm crazy. And they'll keep fishing. But we shouldn't be catching the babies. Now tell them, please, they'll listen to you.
Dick, this is a recurring theme to your trip. Don't catch the babies.
The best illustration of that is a blackboard that I saw in one of the ports on the way down, where they had painted on over a blackboard, we will accept no cod shorter than 24 inches. 24 inches had been crossed out, 23 inches written in. 23 had been crossed out. Then they had written in 22 and crossed that out. And when I got to the port, they were down to 19 inches. And a 19-inch cod is a very small fish. They're a third of the fish's head. And in fact, that's the reason they stopped the offshore fishery. The mechanical filleting machines couldn't handle the small cod, so they stopped the fishery.
Dick Wheeler's trip had started out with a straightforward goal, to use the kayak as a symbol for the great auk and bring recognition to other seabirds. But it was quickly turning into a very literal, very immediate story about an entirely different species, fish, that were not yet extinct, but in trouble. As Dick moved south and crossed the border into Maine, he found that not everyone saw the problem in the same way.
Me-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee. Aukie, we're in Maine. Maine, I love Maine, Aukie. Smell that seaweed. My second home, Aukie. Ho-ho! Pedal in the left side, Aukie. Gonna go right up there. Bar Harbor. Gonna go up and have a cup of coffee at that diner. Well, I went up, and this is late October, but there are tourists all over. I could tell. They're dressed right out of the catalogs. Went into a diner, and I felt uncomfortable. Too big for the place. Place is jammed. Sat down at the counter. A cup of coffee, please. And there's a prosperous-looking couple in there. Late 50s beside me. The man had the half glasses. He was reading the Times. And his wife had the New Yorker. I couldn't resist. I tapped half glasses on the shoulder. And I said, I noticed the headline on the Times says storm wreaks havoc with environment. I always thought storms are part of the environment. Half glasses looked over his glasses. I thought it was funny. Then the three of us looked up at CNN, the television. There was an economics professor. We have to make choices, economic choices. For instance, if you're the whaling industry and you take a 15% profit for 3 years, the whales are gone. If you take a 10% profit for 3 years, there's a sustainable yield. What do you take? And I said to Half Glasses, well, of course you take 10%. He said, no, you take 15% for 3 years, then you reinvest the capital elsewhere. And the whales are gone. I hit the coffee cup and smashed, so I got out of there. I paddle on, said Aukie, look at that house, that's our savior. All the lights going on that big house, it's a family. Come for the weekend in Maine, maybe they'll let us tent out in the front yard. So I knocked on the door. A great big red-headed fellow opened. I said, "I'm sorry to bother you. I'm Dick Wheeler. Can I tent out in the front yard? I'm doing 1,500 miles in a kayak." He said, "Come on in, Rick. Come on in, Rick. Step on the newspaper, will you? Everyone's watching the game, and they'll be right in. I got a fellow, Rick. He's doing 15 miles in a kayak. 1,500. Whatever, Rick, whatever. Listen, Rick, we got to take care of one another. I'd be worried about you with a hard frost, so use the phone." "The phone? Yeah, I'll call the motel, Rick."
I guess one of the things the trip taught me was we have a different meaning for hospitality in America. You could just drift ashore in a log in Newfoundland and live in that place forever. They will truly give you the shirt off their back if it's the last shirt they have. America is quite different, and I always thought of us as a hospitable culture, but we fail if we compare ourselves to Newfoundland.
And our sense of natural capital? This fellow said to you, "Well, if we use it up, we'll invest the profits elsewhere. What does it matter?"
Oh, I think that's very true. We see that all the time. In our own fishing industry, when we deplete one resource, we look around for something that is abundant. You'll hear people say, "Well, we've fished out the cod. There are more mackerel out there than we'll ever be able to catch. Let's go get them." And you hear people say, "Well, when we fished out the sea, we'll just learn to farm them. We did it on the land, and we'll learn to do it on with fish." We need to realize that the National Marine Fisheries Service, it has a lot of wonderful scientists in it, good, good people. But the fact is that it comes under the Department of Commerce. So the overall responsibility is to catch more fish, create more jobs, and find more markets for more.
When the government brings out all the numbers about the catches and this is and that, how does that resonate with you once you've been out on the water for this period of time? Does all the statistics mean anything when you ride the waves in a 17-foot-long boat?
The trip has convinced me that the problem is not an economic problem, as most people see it, but that it is a spiritual problem in the sense that the relationship we have with the ocean is tragically flawed. The fact that we think it was put here for us, and which links into the feeling that the best of us will get the most of what was put here for us. So there's some deep-seated spiritual values that are contributing to this that need to change over time, and it will take time. It's going to take a dramatic change, and it will not come probably until there has been a collapse.
Dick Wheeler says a spiritual awakening is one part of his trip he had a hard time expressing himself. It's one of the parts he most needed a storyteller for.
"It's a cold November day, but all we have to do is finish up. No more excitement. Pedal on the left side, pedal on the right. Be done in 10 days, Auckie. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, do you hear some guillemots?" "Thought I heard guillemots." "Oh, guess not. Pedal on the left side, pedal on the right. Beep, 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 beep. Where are they, Auckie?" "Sounds like a razor belt. There's nothing here, Auckie." "My dear child, we caught the spawn and fish. Tell them they're not coming back. Auckie. Oh, no, oh, no. Come on, let's finish it up, Auckie. Work up a sweat, Auckie. So you can tear me apart. Come on, Auckie, pedal on the left side. Listen, Dick, no. Listen, my honey, no. Listen, Dick, no. Listen. All right, all right, all right." "Shh. Tell them. Tell them I cannot do it anymore. Tell them I cannot cleanse myself as quickly as they foul me. Shh. Tell them I cannot replenish all they rip from my womb. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Walking. Did you hear? What a beautiful voice. What a tired voice.
Portland, Maine to Cape Cod was another 120 miles, and when Dick Wheeler finally paddled through the Cape Cod Canal, there were more than 100 people awaiting his landing.
November 16th, Hawkey, Cape Cod Canal. That sender, look at all these people. Hey, look at all these people. All you people came to see me come in. Thanks. You don't know what it meant to me. You gave me the courage to tell you what happened, and now I'm tired. I'm headed home. Dick Wheeler turned, and eight of us, without thinking, picked up Hawkey, put Hawkey in the back of the pickup truck. Sandra was driving, so we watched Dick, and he was going to the passenger side, and he walked with that wonderful rhythm of the great Hawk. He got in, slammed the door. They drove off, and Dick rolled down the window. He was looking towards the sea. Deedle, 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 deedle. Shh. Shh. Beep, 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 beep.
Shh. I really did see it as if I was being tested by the ocean itself. You know, is this guy for real, or is he a faker? And the way the wind went up, you can almost hear a click as the wind went up each notch. And once I got through that barrier, it was almost as if I was in and visiting another world each day, and then coming ashore into the world that I'd grown up in. So I was getting different understandings that really changed me forever.
Since he completed his trip in November of 1991, Dick Wheeler has taken his message to hundreds of classrooms throughout the U.S. and Canada. He's teaching about the ocean and reminding them that even things that seem abundant can be very fragile. Jay O'Callaghan's story, The Spirit of the Great Auk, is available from Artana Productions in Marshfield, Massachusetts.